tuned in to Agriculture Today once more. We want to tap into information that will be discussed in detail at the Risk and Profit Conference here at Kansas State, hosted by Agricultural Economics at the University. That'll start tomorrow, run through Friday. We've often had a chance to talk about price discovery in the beef cattle sector, and here's one more perspective that's been researched by our guest. He'll be sharing this at Risk and Profit. Brian Coffey is an agricultural economist at K-State. What you've been looking at, you say, Brian, are the negotiated live cattle markets. Explain the genesis of your work, if you would.
Okay, well, let's start with price discovery. It's a term, like you said, we've talked about a lot, and economists use it a lot. And what we mean by that is the way that markets will set a price. And so it doesn't matter if it's a good or a service. You have some people out there who are potential sellers of that. And so they will make offers that they're willing to sell that at a certain price. And that's the point that they're willing to. They don't have to actually sell. And then you've got people on the other side that are willing to buy. And so when those people come together with bids and offers, and eventually they will settle on a price and trade. And so that work that goes on, that back and forth, that's what we mean by price discovery. And just like, you know, in the live cattle market, that's what we see every week, right? We've got offers out there and we've got bids, and sometimes cattle trade and sometimes they don't. And so between the potential sellers and potential buyers, the back and forth work goes on, and eventually you settle on a price and cattle move. So that's the price discovery process, and primarily happening in what we call the five major reporting regions. And so those are geographically different, you know, kind of referred to as Colorado, Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, and Texas. And so looking at those, what we're asking is, as the price discovery process happens, how does the work that's going on in one of those regions affect the work that's going on in another? Mm-hmm. All right, so just to throw out an example, are the prices in Nebraska affected by the prices that have been settled on in Kansas? That's kind of where we're going.
In effect, you're looking at where the price leaders might be within that collection regions, right?
That's right. That's one question to ask. I mean, when people bid in a certain week, they have to get their bids from somewhere. Or if they're going to offer, they have to get those numbers from somewhere. And a lot of times it's from prices that have been discovered, you know, in the past. And so like you say there, it can be the case that one region might lead another in that it past prices would inform current prices.
But it's probably more complicated than that.
It's always more complicated. That's right.
So you've studied that relationship over multiple years' time using data available from the past. And after what we call mandatory price reporting was instituted quite a few years back now, you say?
That's right. So in 2001, the mandatory price reporting was instituted. And for our research now, we're just focusing on the world after mandatory price reporting, because that's where we are now. One of the things that has brought a lot of concern is that if you look at live cattle prices since 2001, and it doesn't really matter which of those five regions you choose, there has been a shift. You know, there's been a much higher level of prices, and in some cases, higher volatility of prices. We'd like to say, you know, understand as economists, if we could say what's driving that, or on the other hand, what that might lead to. Yeah, so that's another motivation of the work.
Well, right to it, the mechanics of your study here, how you got at this question of the interrelationship between regions and the negotiated price for live cattle.
Yeah, so basically looking at that time period, like we said, 01 up to 2017, if you just kind of look at the prices around 2009, 2010 is where we saw quite a big upward trend in live cattle prices, and then also some increase in the relative volatility. So we split the data. We went from 2001 up to the end of 2009, so we call that period one. And in period two, first of 2010 up to the summer of 2017. So we updated these data just last month. So we're up to July 17. And so basically we tried to look at two questions. One was, how do past prices influence current prices? So as just an example, do prices 1 week or 2 weeks ago in Iowa influence the current price that's being discovered in Texas? And we're talking about, I should say, we're talking about weekly data here. So we're talking about a weekly price. And so that was the first question we asked. And so we did that for both of the time periods. And what we found was that there was some change there. It seems that in the earlier time period, the markets that were more the leaders were Kansas, and then to a lesser degree, Texas and Nebraska. Mm-hmm. As we've gone into this newer period with some higher level prices and a little bit higher, you know, like I said, volatility, those markets don't seem to be leading. It seems to be more the burden is borne by Colorado. Colorado has been relatively constant, you know, not a big change up or down. Texas, on the other hand, we've seen really decline in the, we're just talking about the negotiated market. So their negotiated market has thinned out. Iowa has grown. Nebraska has grown relative.
You say you asked another question within the study as well.
That's right. So we could also say that if we know the past price of something, it helps us predict the current or future price of something else. And when we do that, the results are a little bit different. We see that from the earlier time period versus the later time period, there are fewer direct relationships between the markets. So in just a quick summary, you know, in the early time period, we had four kind of distinct ways we could say, for example, that Kansas influenced Nebraska. So the information flowed from Kansas toward Nebraska. In the later time period, we can't say that. The two are still connected, but it's not clear which is informing the other. And so it's interesting that we do have a few, you know, in this more volatile time period, the connections between the markets are not quite as distinct.
Is that indicative of a shift in the dynamics of the industry as far as, say, feeding cattle, for instance, where we see geographical changes over time?
That would certainly be one thing. We're not, you know, to the point with this that we could, you know, comfortably say what's causing that. But, you know, the way that prices are set, the way that bids are made, how near you are to packing plants and that sort of thing, that could definitely play into it.
Where do you hope to go with these conclusions to date? There's a lot going on here, frankly, Brian.
There's a lot going on. There really is. And so basically the goal would be is just to get kind of an updated, accurate picture of how the price discovery is happening. As people are bidding, what information, if we could tease out from the data, what information sources are informing those bids and offers. So as we go forward, just understanding that so that we could understand that if something happens to change one of these markets, whether it would be regulation, whether it would be just something changing in the environment, what we could expect to happen to the other markets, because they're so interconnected, and we want to know, you know, kind of be able to think that through before things change. And on the other hand, also just as a help in terms of price forecasting and understanding live cattle prices, if we know, you know, which one of these markets seem to be the important sources of price discovery information, we might be able to help people more accurately forecast and think about what prices are coming down the road.
Well, you have set a good baseline in that respect with this research, and you'll be sharing the full findings at Risk and Profit later on this week, and you're welcoming interaction with participants and attendees there as to what's going on out there.
That's right, and I would add that's pretty important. important here that this research that we're doing is at this point preliminary, and that's one of the reasons we want to get it out at risk and profit. And so we can explain, all right, this is what our statistical models are telling us. And what we'd like at risk and profit, and frankly beyond that, is people in the industry who are actually out there, you know, buying and selling cattle to tell us, does this make sense? Why it makes sense, or some things that we might be missing. So we're really hoping for that kind of critical feedback and comments at Risk and Profit.
Very good. Looking forward to the presentation and seeing what kind of feedback is generated from this, Brian. Hey, thanks for summarizing it with us right here.
All right, thanks.
He's Brian Coffey, agricultural economist at K-State. And once again, this is a study of price discovery in the cattle industry and comparing the regions in the main cattle trading areas and to how live negotiated prices are constructed within that system and some of the things that are driving those negotiated prices. Brian teamed up with fellow livestock economists Dustin Pindle and Glenn Tonzer of K-State on this project. You're listening to Agriculture Today. We'll return in a moment on the K-State Radio Network.